that would make the laws of Shabbos not Torah laws, but rabbinic laws. In other words, even though normally if you do this thing one way, it would be a Torah prohibition, but done in a different way, it's not called Meleches Machsheres, and it's not a Torah prohibition, it's only rabbinic prohibition. And we said the difference is, either way, you can't do it. But there are leniencies that apply to rabbinic prohibitions that don't apply to Torah prohibitions. And halachas that apply differently to Torah prohibitions and rabbinic prohibitions. So it's important to know when something is from the Torah or when it's rabbinic. And if it's only rabbinic, then it could be that there are certain leniencies that apply to it. Okay, another thing that's significant, whether something is from the Torah or not, is if it's melacha shem skayemis. If it's a melacha, that will last. But if it's something that won't last, then that's not called a melacha from the Torah. Now, what does that mean? It's not. It doesn't mean that if you build a building and then knock it down, right, that you didn't do a melacha, because the building could have lasted. The fact that you knocked it down is irrelevant. Okay, but you built something that had the potential to last. Or you made a knot and untied it. But if you made the knot had the potential to last, that's called a melacha. What we're talking about is the following. Writing is one of the melachas. So if you write with ink or a pencil or something that if you leave it, it would last, that could be a Torah prohibition considering other factors. But from this factor alone, if you write with something that's miskayim, al dover shem miskayim, so then it's a Torah prohibition. What if you write on something that won't last? You write something on an onion skin, and you know that within hours, right, if not, what's it called, if not hours, then days, the onion skin is going to dry up completely, and the writing is going to disappear. So that's not something that can last. Or you write with something that is going to disappear by itself, right? Or you write with, a classical case, you write in the sand. You know the wind is going to come, and the writing is not going to remain. Or you write on a glass, frost. You know that eventually it's going to thaw and disappear. So all of that is only rabbinic and not from the Torah, because the way the melacha was done is something that can't last. Now, what's called can't last depends on the melacha too, because some things don't last anyway too long, but if they last the normal length that they last, that's called miskayah. Some things, aren't meant to be for a long time, aren't called the malach altogether. We'll see, we're tying knots or whatever. Could be it's not a knot, the chlau, if it's not something that can last or whatever. But those are special situations. The basic rule over here is that if something can't last out for Shabbos, then it's not a malach. Okay, and that's again, it doesn't have the potential to last. It has the potential, just because it didn't last doesn't make it less of a Torah prohibition. Next, shinui. This is perhaps the most common thing. You do something in an unusual manner. Okay, what's called an unusual manner? It also depends from malacha to malacha. Okay, some things, if you do it with your left hand, is for a righty, is called unusual. Some things doing it with your left hand is not unusual. For instance, writing perhaps with your left hand, if you're a righty, is only a rabbinic prohibition, because it's not natural for a righty to write with his left hand. On the other hand, carrying something in your left hand, if you're a righty, is, yes, considered what's called normal, because even righties, when their right hand is occupied, they carry with their left hand. It doesn't take a lot of coordination to carry with your left hand. So that wouldn't be called a shinui. On the other hand, if you write backhanded, right, that's called a shinui. And therefore, anything that shinui is also called telach or yad. You do it backhanded. You do it in a way that's not normal done, that malacha. And the reason that is potter is for two reasons. One reason is that it applies to the whole Torah. When the Torah said an action, right, or it said something, it meant the normal way. When it said don't eat something, it meant don't eat it the normal way. It didn't mean to stuff it down your throat in an abnormal way. It meant eating. Eating is called, there's a process called eating. Abnormal eating is not what the Torah meant. Or another example, the Torah said you shouldn't go in to the Azara, into the Beit HaMikdash, when you're tamei. It meant don't go in the normal way. But if you walk in backwards, which is not a normal way of going in, then that's not included. That's not prohibited from the Torah. Still rabbinically prohibited. And it could be that it's also Torah prohibited because you're there. But you're not chayiv on just walking in, because you didn't walk in. You went in backwards. That's abnormal. So not only by Shabbos, right, but by other Isurim also, we find that when the Torah said something, it meant the normal way that thing was done. And if it's done in an abnormal way, shelo kederech achila, shelo kederech hanoah, shelo kederech biyah, right, the walking into the Beit HaMikdash, we find that concept of abnormal things not being what the Torah prohibited, and also not being what the Torah commanded. If you do something, eat matzah in an abnormal way, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Because the Torah said, eat it normally. The Torah is speaking about normal things. But there's an extra added reason by Shabbos that it's also doubly potter. One is because when the Torah says something, it means a normal way. But by Shabbos, many of the things the Torah didn't say. You can't say when the Torah said it. When the Torah said, don't harvest, it meant the normal way of harvesting. The Torah didn't say don't harvest. The Torah said don't do malacha. Harvesting is Torah Shabbat Peh. So there's an extra added reason why on Shabbos, the malachas are only prohibited in a normal way, but not an abnormal way, because not maleches mashevas. It's not the thoughtful chashuva way of doing the malacha. It's done in an abnormal way that makes it less important and less thought out. And therefore, we'll find as we go through that sometimes doing a malacha shelo kederech is normally rabbinically prohibited, so you can't do it anyway. But in certain situations. For instance, where something is only rabbinically prohibited to begin with, the rabbis permitted you to do it with a shinui, to do it with an abnormal way, because then it's only rabbinic anyway, and even if it would be from the Torah, it would only be rabbinic because you're doing it with an abnormal way. So sometimes they permitted you to do things abnormally, because abnormal anyway is only rabbinic, and under the circumstances, the rabbis permitted you to do it like that. Where there's no specific heter to do it abnormally, it's also midrabanan. Yeah?
Is the rabbinic prohibition usually to make sure to put gedder around something that...
Sometimes. The rabbinic prohibitions have various ideas behind them. That's one of the ways of gedder. How the gedder works, there are different ways. But yeah, usually it's a protection that you shouldn't come to do something that's not
the reason I'm asking is because now that there are rabbis that put a gender around something, and now we're not allowed to do it. If we do it, we're still over something, or there's some onus or that goes with it.
Right, but it's not the same gravity. If you do it, right.
Same gravity, but now we're
I'll give you an example of what it's like. Right, if you're standing on a cliff and there's no fence, and it gets dark, and you could just fall off the cliff. An accident.
Okay. No, I understand the purpose.
I'm answering your question. And somebody builds a fence, a high fence, okay? Now, if by accident you climb the fence and fell off the fence, you're still not going to fall off the mountain. You're going to get hurt from falling off the fence. There's nothing like falling off the mountain. So when the rabbis made their gather, what they did is they made it much harder for you to fall off the mountain. Even though if you fall off the fence, you're also going to get hurt, right? But you're not going to get hurt the same way if you fall off the mountain. And if you're over a rabbinic prohibition, not because you don't believe in it. You don't do it because you don't believe in it, the punishment is even worse than a Torah thing. But you're doing it, you believe. You just are negligent or whatever, and you're over an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's for sure nowhere near, right, the gravity of being over an Issur D'Oraisa. So true, the rabbis made a fence, and they made it more things that you could be punished for, but it's nowhere near the kind of punishment you'll get if you did something that's Torah prohibited, the shogi.
Is there something that is basically related now to that particular act, or are you really being over that Torah saying
that Shiloh Rabbi Akiva Eger
of your generation, and you're really over that?
What you're asking is the following. Right, but there's a big difference in what you're asking. Let me explain to you what your question is, and then we'll see if Rabbi Akiva Eger asked that question. What you're asking is the following. If you're over an Issur D'Rabbanan on Shabbos, okay, you're over an Issur D'Rabbanan, let's say on Shabbos, okay, you carry on Shabbos in a place that's only rabbinically prohibited. What have you transgressed? A rabbinic prohibition of Shabbos? That you transgressed a prohibition of Shabbos? or you've transgressed the rabbinic prohibition. Not Shabbos, because Shabbos, there's nothing wrong with Shabbos on this. It's okay to do this. The rabbis made a prohibition. So you're over an issue of the rabbanan. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. Not right. If it has to do with Shabbos, then there's halachas, a person machal Shabbos, what they call, there's different gravity of a Shabbos prohibition rather than a regular one. If this is a rabbinic Shabbos prohibition, it carries certain gravity. If it's just a rabbinic prohibition, but the rabbi, it's not Shabbos, because it's a new prohibition. It's nothing to do with Shabbos, then there's a different halacha. Right, so Rabbi Vega has that shaila. It's not so clear which way, what the case is. Right? In other words, if the prohibition, the rabbi said, don't shave with, not only with a razor, but let's say with a plane, okay, that shaves wood. Okay, it's unnatural, it's not usual to shave like that, so it's only rabbinic. So now if you do that, are you over an issue of shaving, rabbinically, or are you over an issue of the rabbanan? That's not called shaving, so a separate issue of the rabbanan. Right? It has nothing to do with shaving, that's the shaving. So that, it's not clear. Okay. There aren't too many nachkaninas, whether it is or isn't. Okay, but it is a shaving. Okay, another thing. Chatzi shir.
What about the Hasim Miskayim?
Yeah. What is it to be a Malacha Machshavas? Because a Malacha that's not Miskayim, not a Chosh of a Malacha. Well, that's Machshavas has two meanings. One is that it's thought out, it's a product of thought, and the other one's Chashuv Chosh of Malacha. Malacha Chashuva. It's not a Malacha Chashuva, it's something that is minimal importance. That kind of Malacha is not what the Torah has. Torah asked the malachas that were chash of the malachas. That's why Tosa says it's there's a havanin at the thing that hotzah, carrying, shouldn't be chayv at all. It's a malacha garua. She didn't do anything. It's a very minimal kind of work. Most works, you change something, you did something. Here you didn't do anything, you just carried something. It's the same thing it was before, just in a different position. So that's called malacha garua. That's also part of not maleches machsheves. Okay, the next thing is chati shir. In order to be over an iser that would bring a punishment with it, you have to do a certain amount. And it has its amount of what's considered important. For instance, in carrying. If I carry a crumb in my pocket, that's usra. I can't do that. Okay? If it's something that you could actually see, you know, dust on your clothing is not going to carry. But something that's whatever, something, an entity to itself. And you carry it, so you're over an iser. Could be even an iser deraisa. But you wouldn't get malka, you wouldn't get carbon chattas for it, you would never bring a chattas if you did it for shogay, you wouldn't get nisa for it if you did it for nazid. It's too small an amount. Something only important, carry food, it has to be a kazayit of food. Because that's an amount that people eat, a minimal amount that's considered important for eating. Carry for other purposes, it has other shiurim. Right? Every malacha has its shiur. Some of the malachas are chayiv even for a kol shul. Because the malacha is done even with the smallest amount, choresh. You pretty up a field in order to make it plantable. Even the smallest amount is considered important. But some malachas have a shear, unless you do less that shear, that you cook something. So in order to be chayiv on Shabbos, right, cooking has to reach Michael ben Drusoy. Has to be one third of its cooking, whatever. Less than that is not called enough cooking that you should be chayiv, right? But it's also to do. You can't cook something, you know, minimal either. But if it's one third or one half of its full cooking thing, even though it's not 100% edible yet, that's called cooking. You cooked. And if you did it the shogeg and the time of the basic, make the shot to be in korban chatzis. You cooked it less than that, or you cooked a smaller amount. You cooked less than an egg. Now, you cooked half an egg. So that's full cooking, but it's not enough for a chashiv, an amount of thing, to be considered a Torah prohibition. Now, pashtus, there's an argument where the chatzi shir is also in a Torah or only rabbinically prohibited. If you do something that's osur, but you only do it halfway, right, is that a Torah prohibition or only a rabbinic prohibition? Okay? Now, you carried something on Shabbos, but you didn't carry the full amount that would be important. So, that's a machlokas. But by kol haTorah kuvah, anything, it's not only by Shabbos, whether if you do part of the amount, is that considered a Torah prohibition? And we pass from chatzi shir is also min haTorah. That even if you carry less than the amount, you're still over a Torah prohibition, but you wouldn't get punished for it. There's no punishment. It's a prohibition. Not no punishment midayot. You wouldn't get nisa, you wouldn't get a chatos, malkos, any kind of thing like that. But it's prohibited. God will punish you right, for doing it because it's something that's prohibited from the Torah, not just rabbinically.
What's the idea of that?
I mean, what's the idea of it? The Torah didn't want you to do
it. If that's the way it is, then you should get an onish for it.
Right, you do get an onish from the Nashamayim. That's not chashuv enough to get an onish. You date other. That's all. Why there's some isurim you don't get malchus for? An essay. There's no malchus. Right, it's not severe enough to get malchus for, right, or kores or any. But the laws don't punish you. There's some you're involved in an essay, you get a punishment. But not, what's it called, not anything that's prescribed that people have to give you. It's not that severe, yeah?
When Chazal and Gemara describe what is a chashev amount, for example, for carrying various materials, there would be two ways of looking at that. One is that Chazal wrote Kobeya that because this can be used as a bottle cap or something,
right.
So that's chashev. And therefore, once they're Kobeya, they're Kobeya. Or do you say that today nobody will use it, so it has no chashivus b'chlal, so we would even keep such a thing? What's the proper way?
The shiurim we find in Chazal that we're really dependent on how people use things in their time, and today people don't use those things like that. Right. Pashtus, it doesn't change. In other words, theoretically speaking, potentially, even though today, for whatever reason, people aren't mashed that, you can have the time of Chazal too. There'll be a lot of people who, you know, were not, the commercial size Shir, because Aniyim do it like that. Meaning, you see from there, that even though in their times also, Ashirim didn't do that. But since it's Roy for an Ani, right, and it's not, you don't say Batla Daito, that what's it called, this is an unusual Yotzim in a cloud, but there are a group of people in the world called Aniyim that do it like that, right? So it's potentially something that has importance. You and your matzav right now don't give it importance. But that doesn't take away the fact that potentially, right, in a given matzav, that does have importance. Therefore, that shiur remains.
And there would be even of those things where today, there wouldn't be anybody who would.
Yeah. Because today people don't do it because they're affluent. But if Rahmanu Litzlan, you know, there's a rav, and all of a sudden, what's it called, people are put into a different situation of life, then those kind of things, right, would still be important. So just because the situation has changed doesn't take away the potential that thing could be important in itself, right, if people weren't so affluent. So it's side, outside influences that took away the chashivas, but intrinsically the chashivas is still there. All you have to do is change the circumstance a little bit. That's all. Okay.
Two people carrying a shear, is that a general person shear?
That's a different, that's his next thing, but that's not. There's another kind of thing, it's called a chatsi malacha. You didn't do a chatsi shear. You didn't do the malacha, right, but you only did what's it called, you did it halfway. You only did half of the malacha. There are certain malachas that have a few steps to them. For instance, Hotzah is the ideal one, to give an example. If in order to be chayiv on carrying on Shabbos, you have to pick up the thing in Rishus HaYochid and put it down in Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. Or you have to pick it up in Rishus HaRabim, carry it 4 amos and put it down. It's not enough just to carry it or to change its position. You have to pick it up in one place and put it down. The picking up and putting down is intrinsic to the malach. Okay? And the Gemara says clearly that if one person picked it up, okay, but he didn't put it down. He kept walking with it and somebody else took it out of his hand and he put it down, but he didn't pick it up. So they're both potter. It's only rabbinic. You're not allowed to do such a thing. But it's rabbinic. Why? Because it's not a chatzi shir. It's not that you did the malacha halfway. You only did half the malacha. Less than 4 amos is also called chatzi malacha. It's not called chatzi shir, because the malacha is 4 amos. It's not that's a shir, right? A shir of 4 amos. That is the malacha. Mather dalad amos is the malacha. Right? You only carry 3 amos only rabbinic, and therefore sometimes the rabbanan will mather you to carry less than dalad amos.
That's my next story. That's where I was. There were 2 houses. I realized that they had something on them. They had to walk for the distance of about 1.5 miles.
Right, Pachas Midarim.
You get me 2 feet, they just kept handing it back and forth. But really, you're saying in Mindo Reiser, they were okay.
Right.
In the Rabbanim,
right. And sometimes the Rabbanim permitted you, in certain cases like that, one of the eights is to carry the thing less than Arbanis at a time in Rishus HaRab. Won't help when you get to Rishus HaYochid. It'll help when you get to the Rishus HaYochid.
Let me go back to you mentioned about cooking food and about being a third done. That means that coming into Shabbat, it has to have less than one third.
No.
It means it has to be at least one third done.
That's a different reason. Yeah, but that's that. When Shabbos comes in, it depends what it is. Under certain circumstances, which we will get to eventually, on certain circumstances, you can't leave food cooking to finish cooking on Shabbos if it hasn't been cooked at least one third of its cooking, or half the cooking.
Like showing, yeah. People, you know, leaving a crock pot. The crock before Shabbat.
You should make sure that it's cooked at least one third to one half, and preferably it should be cooked already where it's edible before Shabbos.
But certainly at least a third
right.
of the
right.
before
Shabbos. Right. If you can't, then if it's not, then you can't leave it to cook on Shabbos. And you can't say it so in certain circumstances. Okay. You get the cooking, we'll speak about it. Okay, there's one more thing, that was what Reuven was alluding to, Shnayim Shasu. There's another thing that makes something, according to some opinions, only rabbinic. According to some, it's still from the Torah, but it's just not, you don't get a bring a carbon, or you don't get Nisa if you did it. But it's still prohibited from the Torah. And some hold it's still only rabbinic. That's if two people do a malacha, right, that neither one could have done by himself. That both of them could have done by themselves. Two people do a malacha, and either one could have done it by himself. So that's, first of all, unnatural. Right? Two people carry a pencil together. So it's normal to carry a refrigerator, two people together. And neither one could have carried the refrigerator by himself. There, the shaila, whether what's it called, ze'eno yachov is chayiv or not. Right? But that's very possible that that is Asr and Yubichai for that. But Ze Yochov, both of them could do it by themselves. And they're carrying it together is abnormal. Besides the fact that we have a pasuk to tell me that that's Potter from Machatas, for sure. So Shnayim Shasu is Potter. And it could be, it's not only on Shabbos. It's on anything, the Korban Machatas, where two people do what one person could do by himself, either one could do by themselves, you don't bring a Korban Machatas. On Shabbos, it could be that it's even worse because it's not natural to do it like that, and therefore it becomes only rabbinic. Okay, those for the most part are the halachas of the things that are significant to change something from a Torah prohibition to a rabbinic prohibition, and therefore these are some of the things that when we learn these halachas, we'll see that in certain circumstances, doing it in one of these ways will make it a difference whether you can do it or you can't do it. And the obvious question, again, that people always ask, and that's why I did this first, is what difference does it make? You know, if you're not allowed to knead dough or to make, batter, then what difference does it make if you stir it the normal way or you start doing it in a crazy way, right? What difference does it make if you write on the glass or you write on the paper, right? So we see now there are these differences, because if you do it in the normal way, you do it in a way that's going to last, it's a Torah prohibition. If you do it in an abnormal way, it's only rabbinic. And once it's only rabbinic, the rabbis had a right to limit their prohibitions and tell you sometimes where it's only rabbinic, we're going to tell you it's okay to do. Sometimes we're going to tell you that it's not okay to do rabbinically. But the rabbis at least there had the leeway. But they couldn't come to tell you to do something that's to Torah prohibited and tell you to do it. So once we reduce it to rabbinic, then the rabbis have the power to tell you we are relaxing our prohibition in this situation. Okay, so that's... That finishes this Hagdama. What we're going to do, starting the new session next week, is start Malacha by Malacha. And I don't think, like we said, we're going to use a Sefer. I will just, what I think are the most Nogea Lamaisa things, mention them, and then take questions of situations that are similar, and that's how we'll go through it. Many minhagim are very fine minhagim, and it says that even if a minhag seems to you to be without any reason to it, right, before you do away with a minhag, right, you have to be very, very, very careful. Because once you start doing away with minhagim that don't seem important, in the end you're going to give away minhagim that are important, and then halachas, and then Torah prohibitions. They all follow one the other. Once a person starts just capriciously ignoring minhagim, eventually he ignores halachas too. On the other hand, there are minhagim that are not proper minhagim, that are minhagi tos. Now we say minig can be rearranged and spell hamogain, the protection, the shield. A minig is a shield. Or minig, they bring down, can also be gehenna. Same osios. Some minhagim are gehenna. Right? People have minhagim that are totally awesome. Right? That's my minig. Right? I think I mentioned, once had a guy tell me, he parked a block from my shul and walked the last block. And when I confronted him and said, you know, I assume that you think there's a mitzvah to walk on Shabbos, but there's really an issur to drive, so walking the last block doesn't really help. So he said, no, Rabbi, you should know, my father parked in that place, my grandfather parked in that place, it was a minig.